what does it mean to be a person of faith, a follower of Jesus today, and what is the heart of this way of life? Jesus calls us to this integrated life where our beliefs and our spiritual practices are lived holistically, where they become the foundation for our decision-making, our community life together, our relationship with God, and our reaching out to neighbors. So the barn, we have discerned our core values, that these are the set of values that help ground us in our relationship following Jesus. And together, these core values spell out our credo, which is the central message of our community, which is love wins. So let's read these core values together. Balance, hope, creativity, a safe community, growth, gratitude, honesty, and all neighbors. So this morning, we're going to dig deeper into the value of creativity. And we're going to do that by first looking at the character of God. So, here's your challenging question for this morning. In one word, how would you describe God? In one word. Awesome. Love. I heard others.
Everything.
Loving.
Present.
Savior.
Here.
Holy.
Inside.
Bread.
Living.
Somebody said forgiving.
Me. Creator.
Confusing.
Because we are
awesome.
God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are good words. Any other words? Any other last words that are out there? And trying to capture God in one word is a challenge, right? I mean, so, as somebody who went to seminary and had to take multiple courses on theology and still found God to be confusing, it's hard to capture God. But I think through the ages, there have been two sort of traditional ways of viewing who God is or understanding who God is. The one main view is called, fancy name, is supernatural deism. So, in supernatural deism, this view that God is like a human being, because these traits and characteristics of being like a human, most often a man, but sometimes this could be pictured as a woman. But God is a person-like being who's sort of out there with human traits. And occasionally this God decides to intervene in human affairs. And in this worldview, in this view of God, prayer is really critical. Because by praying to God, that God can then intervene in the world and act in the world. But there's sort of this problem underneath that. There are a lot of people who think of prayer this way, but it can also lead to a very dangerous notion that we have to believe the right way, and God will intervene on our behalf if we believe the right things or we're doing the right things. And that can be dangerous sometimes. But God can be personified in different ways. But God is really out there. This is not an intimate, personal view of God. God is often remote or absent or in heaven. This God is often very powerful. So in this theistic worldview, God is oftentimes imagined as an angry father. And you may have grown up with this image of God. I grew up in a church where we had two dominant images of God. One was Jesus, the gentle shepherd, holding the sheep, and then this was the other image of God that we were often taught. So God was this angry parent who brought down the law and who required obedience of us. This view of God has become very troubling for a lot of people. I can say, personally for myself, this view of God has become troubling because what happens is when God is this lawgiver, and we are required to be obedient, it leads to, like in the Methodist church I grew up in, it was this idea of sanctification, that you had to behave in a certain moral way, and you had to be perfect at it, and as soon as you were perfect, then you were okay and then you could pray. But if you fell from grace, then you weren't hurt. It's like it led to this constant cycle of guilt and this pain that you're just not doing good. I know I have a number of people who were raised in this world and like were on this road to perfectionism because they wanted to believe in God, they knew in God, but yet they couldn't quite measure up, and so they rejected the church altogether because of the pain and the exhaustion of this imagine, this way of imagining God. And a lot of those people, for a lot of those people, that view of God, they don't know that there's an alternate way of seeing and understanding who God is. And that alternate way is called panentheism. I remember when my theology professor drew this on the blackboard, it's like had this big circle for God, and then everything else was inside the circle. It's like God is in all things and then even more than all things. God is right here and present and a connected energy, and it is God is also more than everything. So in this way of believing, God is very personal, God is ever-present, God is the creator of all things and within all things. God doesn't intervene in the world. It's not God outside the world intervening in the world. God is in the world, in all things. So prayer, you don't pray to get what you want. You pray to raise your consciousness of the existence of God within you and all around you. So God is not far away, but intimately close, and the Spirit connects us with one another and all creation. In this view, God is a God of grace and love, a God of restorative justice, as opposed to the other worldview, which is a God of distributive justice. And distributive justice is a system of rewards and punishments that you, if you stray away or you're disobedient, then you receive a punishment. Restorative justice understands that there is pain in the world, and restorative is a healing process where there's personal accountability. So it's not easy, but it's a pathway, a different pathway toward healing and forgiveness. It's more than obedience. It's about relationship. Restoring relationships and love is sometimes tough love, but it calls us to let go of our need to be right in favor of valuing our relationships with God, the one who created us, the one who knows us, the one who loves us. So I'm going to invite you to just listen today to the words of Psalm 139, because oftentimes this idea of God, we forget that this idea about God is as old as the Bible itself. And so I invite you to just listen to these words. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe it's more helpful to look at the screen. But just try to soak in these words from the psalmist. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know what I believe in when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh yes, you shaped me first, inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, High God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation! You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. So I invite you to take a moment and hold on to this image of God. What do you feel? Trust when I read and I hear and I prayerfully think about this message. Deep, intimate trust in something that is greater than myself. God is this loving creator who's created us, and that divine spark is within us. We have been created in God's own image. And I love this image of God as creator and being created in God's image. We have this amazing gift, which is also a spiritual practice of creativity. Julia Cameron wrote this beautiful, beautiful book called The Artist's Way. And it's all about unleashing that creative energy and spirit that is within each one of us, and it helps us to connect with God and one another. And she highlights some basic principles in understanding that creativity is a spiritual practice. She writes, creativity is the natural order of life. Life is pure energy, pure creative energy. And when we open ourselves to our creativity, we open ourselves to the Creator's creativity that is within us. And we ourselves are creations, and we in turn are meant to continue creating by creating ourselves. Creativity is God's gift to us, and our creativity is a gift that we can then offer back to God. And as we open our creative channel to the Creator, many gentle and powerful changes can happen within us. Creativity as a spiritual practice can change who we are at the core of our being. So Cameron calls the Artist's Way a recovery practice because for many of us, I can say that for myself, that I was taught that if my end product of my art wasn't good enough, if it didn't measure up, then don't bother creating. And what I lost in that process was the process of creating itself. Understanding creativity as a spiritual practice doesn't look at the end product, doesn't look at the recital, doesn't look at the show, at the exhibition, or what even comes out in the end. It's about engaging in the process. And so when I'm works through this 12 weeks, like a recovery process, like your 12 steps, where you recover your inner artist. And what I discovered was that I have had so many shame messages around creativity that I blocked myself from connecting with God and connecting with others. So when we can knock down those walls of shame, thinking that our art isn't good enough, we can discover that as children of God, created in God's image, we are enough. God has created you to create. So I'm wondering, if you think back to your childhood, before you might have received any of those shame messages, what are some of the things that you love to do to create?
Really easy for me. My mom said the first time I was ever standing up, I was always one of my favorite
dancing. You can dance before you could walk.
My garden.
Your garden, yes. Yes. She was a commercial actress. She invented a commercial for all the Georgia. Brilliant. I love that. That's a great way to clean your room. I mean, like, you're creating a commercial. So I'm going to invite you this week to set yourself up with what's called an artist date. So thinking about setting some time aside in your life that is an intentional time to engage in creative spiritual practices, to open yourself up to the presence of God and to the presence of being present, more connected with others. So there are lots of different things that you can do for an artist day. You could engage in the visual arts, so you could spend time in the afternoon or morning drawing or painting, or you could take yourself out to a junk store, just collect different things and put them together into a sculpture, or just go to an art museum. And this week I made sure I bought myself tickets to an art museum as my time away. I'm really good at looking at visual art. Then there's music arts, and that can be practicing an instrument or playing one that you're bad at. You know, just have fun. Like, it doesn't matter. Or think about those old 45s you might have hidden away in your attic, and I know you might have a record player. You might not have a needle that works, but there are vintage stores out there. Throw on an old 45 and see where it brings you back. Another opportunity, take an acting class. Here's an image from the Civic Theater, which is local to us. Take an acting class, get out on stage, or just make up your own commercials. You can grab an iPhone camera, you can do that yourself. Or engage in comedy, and I won't talk about my improv class, which terrifies me, but I love this quote, because I'm taking this improv class to help me overcome some of my own fears and tap into my spiritual energy. But I love this quote from Jerry Stiller: creative comedy is like growing geraniums in a minefield, and that's exactly how I feel when I go to improv class. Dance. And there's so many ways to engage in dance, and it's intimate, it's beautiful, it's movement. And there are lots of creative ways that you can think of dance. Like, one of the things that I enjoy is I enjoy volunteering at the library, and I imagine shelving books like a dance. And there are lots of different ways that you can imagine movement and dance creatively, whether it be running or jogging or walking out in nature or going for a hike. Or film. iPhone cameras, get ready. If you ever wanted to be a director, now's your chance. Or treat yourself to an old movie, a classic film. Film is a beautiful, it taps into that art, that beautiful ancient art of storytelling, visually, musically, and dramatically. So I'm going to invite you this week to commit yourself to an artist's day. To spend a couple of hours. And you'll discover too that it is a form of meditation and prayer. that helps you connect with God in a very special, unique way. And my hope is that if you are able to set that time aside, that you might discover that you are a child of God, created in God's image, with promise and a purpose. So create, just like you were as a child. Create, create, create. Amen?
Amen.
And I just want to point out these adorable little creations on our communion table, because they remind me and help me connect with God the Creator. You'll notice Ty has created a little Lego hoverboard. Talk about creative practice with Legos. And Gracie has created this little styrofoam man out of a cup. And what beautiful gifts from our children. So if you want to have an artist day this week, find a child, because they are so open and connected to the Spirit. And it's just amazing what you can discover in wonder and beauty as you create with the child. So we come to this table, this communion table today, thankful for the gifts of creation and for the many gifts that God offers us to be in relationship